I actually want to invite up our next generation ministry leaders, DJ Douglas and Crystal Bennis. And so could we welcome them as they make their way up here? And so these guys help lead our next generation ministries. And so actually all three of us are going to be sharing with you a little bit about what God has been doing in the ministry we lead. We're going to share a little bit about the ministry we lead as well. And then also prayer requests that we can give you guys to kind of pray with us for the next generation. And I'd love to actually ask you guys if you'd be willing to write those prayer requests down, because we'd love to partner with you in prayer for the next generation. But Crystal, why don't you start and tell us a little bit about what God's been doing in Power Kids.
I'm super excited for this weekend. So just a little bit about Power Kids. So at Grace Church, we call our children's ministry Power Kids. And so that spans a huge age range. It's from birth through fifth grade. And we in Power Kids know and understand that that is a huge age range. There are a lot of different milestones that take place during that time. And so to help with some of that learning, we actually divide Power Kids up into three different areas, so it's a little more age appropriate for them. So Power Kids, our whole goal is to partner with you as parents, to come alongside of you, help equip you, and just help you lead your kids to know, love, and follow Jesus. And so we know that with some Barna research, that a kid develops their worldview by the age of 13. And so they even start to understand what that means as young as 15 months. But the real key age is between 8 and 12 years old. And so that's the key time frame when kids are developing their worldview. And so Power Kids' goal is to come alongside you, like I said, as parents, to help you frame a biblical worldview for your kids. So what that means is helping them understand what the world looks like, the way that the world operates, through the lens of Scripture. And so we want to help you do that. And so some of the different ways that we're able to equip parents are take-homes that we provide every weekend. And so those just give a little bit of Scripture, allow you to help your kids get into the Word, to get into the Word together as a family. And then something new that we started are some rearview mirror tags. So we have a couple different versions of those. We just released a new one on Friday with our back-to-school bash. But one of them is like a road trip, or even just a drive around town. So we have different questions that you can ask, so you can utilize your time in the car together to even be able to talk about the things of God. So we know that it's never too young, and we want to utilize every minute that we have to help our kids know who Jesus is. So we also have a back to school version as well. So you can kind of pick those up, walk through those. We have a drop off time and a pickup time for those of you that carpool, just some good prompts that you can ask your kids and interact with your kids as they head back to school. So both of those can be found in the Power Kids check-in area under the television if you're interested. Just want to share a couple of things that we want to celebrate with Power Kids from this summer. So we sent 67 campers to junior camp this year. So that's a record number of kids. This is third through fifth grade. They go to Beulah Beach for a week, and we get to interact with them, get them away from technology, and pour into them there. So it's a fun time. We also took a record number of high schoolers with us as counselors. So we got to take 17 counselors with us this year. And so these guys really invested in the kids, built relationships with them, pointed them to Jesus in different ways throughout the day. We also have a lot of kids in Power Kids that are taking next steps through baptism. And so the kids are super brave as they come up here and share their testimonies and kind of what God has been doing in their lives and in their hearts. And so we've seen several kids this year and even this summer who have taken that next step of faith through baptism. Also, a huge thing we want to celebrate is Bible camp. So we did that this summer as well. Many of you plugged in and served in different ways and even prayed for Bible camp. I would say the biggest thing to celebrate from Bible camp were just the gospel conversations that got to happen this year through small group and a lot of our student volunteers, middle school and high school, that plugged in. And so we just had a really, really fun week, high energy, that we got to tell the kids about the gospel. We also wrapped that up with our family fun night on Friday, where we had a petting zoo come. So it was a whole lot of fun. So I would just ask for prayer. If you could just be praying for the hearts of our kids. We want kids to accept Christ at a young age, make their faith their own and not their parents' faith. And so they can just take a lifelong journey of following Jesus for their life. Thanks, guys. Here's DJ for Student Ministries.
Thanks, Crystal. Yeah, like Crystal said, my name is DJ. I am the pastor of student ministries here at Medina East. So what that means is I get to oversee 6th grade up to 12th grade. So yeah, to give you a little bit of an update of what we've done this summer, it's been seriously an unbelievable summer. I know that we say that every year, but for students, summer is, you know, it's the time where school ends. But it's this opportunity where there's this short window for students to step back from the regular rhythms of everyday life and to hear from God. And so we do that by sending students to camp or to conferences, or this year we're on missions trips. So to give you a couple updates, the first thing that we did is we sent students to Camp Carl this past June. And so Camp Carl is our camp for 6th through 8th grade. It is, when I say fun, that is so underselling it. This camp is just unbelievably phenomenal at mixing fun with faith. And so they do things like, they've got, you know, the massive zip lines and the boating, like the horseback riding. Some of them sleep in these covered wagons. It's just tree houses. Like, who doesn't want to sleep in a tree house? All right? Like, it is genuinely such an awesome, fun time, but they do a wonderful job, too, of mixing faith with them. And so some students in middle school, they make first steps to follow Jesus. And so, you know, we had a handful of students that gave their faith to Jesus for the very first time at Camp Carl this year, which is something to celebrate. And so, yeah. And then we also had students that took next steps. And so what next steps look like for middle schoolers is some of them lean into worship a little bit more. They lean into listening to what the teaching is. They lean into actually caring more about their friends' faith than their own faith. And so Camp Carl was just, it was really a fun, unique way of celebrating and helping students in middle school along on their journey. Now, the next update, which is, I could go on and on about this one. So if Camp Carl was for students to, like, step back and, like, get away from the distractions of everyday life, we took 19 high schoolers and leaders to Philadelphia. So if Camp Carl was about taking a step back, going to Philadelphia was like going to the front lines of ministry. So a lot of them are actually sitting in this front row here, which they did such a phenomenal job. I could brag on them all day. So when we went to Philadelphia, a lot of what they did was sharing their faith with complete strangers. And so some of it was just walking up to strangers and getting to know them and praying for them. A lot of what they did was feeding the homeless. It was a lot of challenging, a lot of stretching moments. But we know that, and I got to see it, God does his best work when students are challenged or when we find ourselves in places where we are completely dependent on God to show up. And I know that our high schoolers, they came back not with just memories from Philadelphia, but with this deep burden to make Jesus known here. That what we learned there is not just, you know, it's not just cool, fun trips in Philadelphia. It was like, how do we make Jesus known here and serve the community here in Medina? So I was so proud of you guys for what you guys did in Philadelphia. What a blessing that trip was. And so lastly, this is really awesome. So last month we took 87, get this ratio, 87 students, 10 adults. Not a good ratio, right? That is not recommended. But that's what we rolled with. So we had 87 students. What we did is we get into these charter buses and we head out to Indiana Wesleyan for a conference that we called Momentum. So at Momentum, there's about, I think it was 1,800, if I'm not mistaken, 1,800 students from all over the country that descend on Momentum. And it is a phenomenal week for our high schoolers. So there's world-class teachers there. This year's theme was all in, all out. So students go all in for Jesus. And then so they come home, they go all out for Jesus. It was a great time. The teaching was designed to help students to own their own faith, that faith isn't just for Sundays. You can live it out any day of the week. And like I said, again, another phenomenal week for the high schoolers. But collectively, what we saw through all of these camps, the conferences, let me jump to this actual picture here before I jump to this. So this is the third night at Momentum. And what you see here are hundreds of students coming down front to this. They did an altar call. Hundreds of students decided to follow Jesus for the very first time. Isn't that amazing? Like, it was unreal. This particular night actually made national news. It was on the news one day. I was watching it like the week after Momentum. I was like, that's us. And they were talking about the conference. So like, God is doing phenomenal things, not just here at Medina East, but in this next generation. So it is, what a blessing it is to see them, to be part of this conference here. And so as you guys can see, whether it's through camps, whether it's Camp Carl or missions trips or conferences, God is doing unbelievable things in and through this next generation. And so there's three things. Why we believe and the things that we do over the summertime. First, it's to give students a break from the everyday rhythms of their life to go hear from God, right? So we send students to camps like that. The second is because we want to equip students to be able to live out their faith in a real and meaningful way. And so we go to places like Philadelphia that teaches them how to share their faith, not with just their friends, but how do you share your faith with total and complete strangers? And they just knocked it out of the park. Right? And then lastly, we don't just send the students there by themselves. We send them with peers, and we send them there with mentors that are not just there to help them get through the summer, but that are going to form memories and lasting relationships for the rest of their lives, right? Because it's not just this summer that they made memories for. It's memories that they're going to remember this year and, like I said, for the rest of their lives. So if you could be praying for the students that made, whether it's a first-time decision or a next step in their faith, you know, like, you know, this summer was full of planting and watering and like we're spreading seeds, but God is the only one that could really make things grow and make their spiritual life grow. And so if you join me in praying that for God to do the thing that he can do in this situation is like to help those students that made those decisions to help raise their faith. So thank you.
So lastly, let me tell you a little bit about United, the young adult ministry that I have the chance to lead. So United exists to help young adults know and follow Jesus. And when we say young adults, we mean somebody who's 18 to about 28-ish, right? And really what we're talking about is reaching Generation Z with the good news about Jesus. And I don't know how familiar you guys are with kind of some of the studies and statistics done on Generation Z, but it is a generation that for the most part is one that's distracted by technology and their phones. One that is anxious, filled with anxiety, and one that's isolated, left out from meaningful relationships. And while those things are certainly not good, what is good about that is as our world fails to meet them in those things, that generation is becoming more and more open to hearing about Jesus. That in fact, this generation is one of the most open generations spiritually that we've seen in a while. And so we believe that when Generation Z meets Jesus, Jesus can give them purpose in their distraction, and he can give them peace in their anxiety, and he can give them real relationships in their isolation. And so we want to see this generation go from distant from Jesus to saved by Jesus, and then sent by Jesus back out into the world around them to make an impact for Jesus' kingdom. And so one of the things we say about United is that United isn't just a community of young adults, but it is a mission to and through young adults. That as young adults meet Jesus, we want to help them grow and send them out to reach their friends for Jesus as well. And really, that's what we've been celebrating over the past year or so, more and more of that happening, with young adults inviting their friends kind of into our larger spaces like that we call U Groups and Unites. In fact, at our Spring Unite series, over the course of 5 weeks, we saw over 40 first-time guests get connected, many of which that were just invited by their friends who are wanting them to meet and encounter Jesus, which is so awesome. And then on top of that, what comes after those things is our United Retreat, which is one of the most spiritually impactful and really awesome and fun things we do all year. And so we have a spring and fall retreat, and those always culminate the final kind of day with baptisms, with young adults kind of taking that first step of faith and going public with their faith through baptism. And so at this spring retreat, we saw 14 young adults get baptized. And what was so cool about that is as they shared their story, what you heard was you heard about friends praying for friends and family praying for family. You heard about people walking alongside them to share Jesus with them, to welcome them into our community to encounter a real relationship with Jesus. I mean, that's what we're celebrating. We're praising God for that. And what's so cool is not just these first step of faith, but the many steps of faith they take after that, because over 100 of our young adults are in what we call triads. And triads are really just small groups of young adults that meet weekly to basically encourage one another and help each other grow in following Jesus, or what we would call discipleship. And what we found is that when these young adults get connected to relationships where there is trust, where there's accountability, where there's vulnerability and encouragement, and that is centered around this vision of following Jesus to become like him, man, life change and transformation happens. And one of the coolest things about these triads is many of them are led by young adults who partner with what we call real adults, which is much better than older adults, all right? And so many of these chronologically advanced people in our church family, right? They have taken it on themselves to look back to this generation that is navigating one of the most important seasons of their life in their 20s, to invest in them, to care for them, to help them learn from their mistakes. And man, just the impact of that is incredible. And so we're thanking God for that too. And so really, you can be praying for our young adults, especially this year, that God would help empower them to be bold witnesses for Jesus. That's what we've been praying about, that God would light a fire in them to share Jesus with the world around them. And so we would love it if you joined us in prayer for that. But man, I just want to say on behalf of all three of us, we are just so grateful. We are so honored and privileged to be able to lead these ministries. And we are so grateful for so many of you who have bought into this with us, who are pouring out your lives for the next generation. And so thank you guys. And man, we could share story after story of individual people, names, kids, students, young adults who have been impacted by your investment. You're going to hear about some of those in a bit. But before we get there, I want to invite up Tony as he shares a little bit about why we do this. So would you welcome up Tony?
Awesome. Man, can we just put our hands together and thank God for all that he's doing in these next generation ministry spaces. Awesome. And I actually also want to take an opportunity. Can we just take a minute and can we just thank everyone who is within our church family who serves in these ministry spaces, whether it's Power Kids or Student Ministries or United? Can we just say thank you to those who serve in those areas? So thank you so much if you serve in those spaces. And we just want to honor you, and we want to say thank you for the way that you give of your time in those ways. And I just want to say, man, I am so excited. If you are part of the Grace Church family, so if you're someone who calls Medina East Campus home, I'm so thankful to have this service time together, because there is so much, as you can see, that happens outside of the weekends. And there's so much that's going on beyond just what you see on a week-to-week basis here, to be able to see how God is at work through these camps and these conferences and these different ministries. So I'm so excited about that. And I'm also so excited, if you are someone who is just checking out Grace Church for the first time, if this is your first weekend here, I'm so grateful you're here this weekend. Even though it's a different weekend, I'm grateful that you're here, because you get to see one of the core values to who we are as a church. And my hope is this might help you understand Grace Church a little bit more deeply. So here at Grace, if you've been around for any length of time, you probably know we have a deeply held value that is in many ways core to who we are. And here's the value. We put it this way. We say that we are fully committed to kids and students. And so if you're part of Grace Church, my hope is you are so familiar with this. You have heard this so many times. This is our value that we have together. It is that we are fully committed to kids and students. And here at Grace Church, we actually say that for those of us who are part of this church family, we believe this is our value. That this value is not just for parents in our congregation, that this value is not just for those who serve in next generation ministry spaces. We believe that this is our collective value, and this is our collective responsibility as a church, is that we want to be fully invested in kids and students. Here's how we describe this value. We say it this way. We say that we unapologetically devote major resources and major energy towards shaping a God-centered worldview during a person's prime developmental years. And so basically what we're saying is we are so committed to this that we unapologetically are going to pour resources, money, and time, and focus, and people in towards next generation ministry spaces, because we want to fully invest in kids and students. And again, I think that if you understand this value, this helps you make sense of why Grace Church does some of the things that we do It helps you make sense of who we are and why we do what we do. So for example, why is it that so many people within our congregation would give of their time to invest in next generation ministry spaces, to involve themselves in being counselors or going on missions trips, intergenerational mission trips? Why would we do that? It's because we have this value. Why is it that so many of you would pour so much money into things like camps and conferences, things like Beulah Beach and Camp Carl and Momentum and the retreats that we have? Why would we invest in those ways? Well, it's because of this value. It's because we believe that those things make a real spiritual impact in the lives of the next generation. Why is it that in our last building program that we had as a church, that rather than expanding the auditorium, which is something that we need to do, that our priority was instead that we wanted to extend our next generation ministry spaces? Why is that? It's because of this. Why is it that we built a playground in our church? It's because of this. It's because we have this value that's saying that we are fully committed to kids and students. So here's the question then. I just want to think about for just a little bit of time here today is why? Why is this a value of ours? Why is this so important to us? Why would we spend a whole weekend refocusing on this value and coming back to it time and time again? Is this because, you know, this is just like a kind of a, you know, a strategic church growth strategy that if you can reach the younger generation, that's a strategic way to grow your church? Is that why this is a value of ours? Is it because we just want to be a trendy church and we just want to try our hardest to be relevant? Is this because we don't really care about the older generation and so all we care about is young people? Is that why? And of course, the answer is no, that's not why. In fact, I just want to talk to you today about, I believe there are two main reasons why this is our value and why, if you're a follower of Jesus, this should be your value as well, that this is the value that we share together. So here's the two reasons, and I just want to talk about them together. Here's the first one. The first reason we have this value is because we are convinced, we are totally convinced that this is God's heart. We believe that this isn't just a strategy, it's not just our idea. We believe that it's God's plan and it's God's heart. And secondly, the reason is because we are convinced that there is no greater treasure to impart, that there is nothing greater to give to the next generation than this. So I just want you to think about these two things with me. So first and foremost, our first reason is because we're convinced that this is God's heart. Now, this value that we have, this vision for an intergenerational kind of impact that we hope to make, is actually birthed out of a deep conviction that we see in the pages of Scripture. And so it's interesting, when you look at the Bible and you look throughout the pages of Scripture, what you're going to see is there is a very powerful and a very consistent pattern that emerges. And what you're going to see is this. You're going to see that the gospel, and by the way, the gospel is the story of God that is fulfilled in the person of Jesus. It is God's redemptive story throughout history. And we believe that the gospel is intended by God to be passed on generationally and relationally, that it is one generation to the next, and it is one relationship to the next, that this is God's plan, and this is God's design. So just if I could try to illustrate it this way, I just want you to think about this with me like a chain, okay? So I actually had one of our next generation ministries make this chain for me. Can you guess which age group made this chain? Can you guess? It was the high school students. Yeah, they did that. So we're very proud of them. And they did a great job. But if you think about a chain, I want you to imagine that this chain stretches throughout all of human history with me for a minute. Okay, so I just want you to imagine from the beginning of human history to the end of human history, this chain extends. Now, here's what I think all of us understand about a chain. A chain is only as strong as each individual link. That is true. At the same time, a chain is also only as strong as its interconnectedness to the other links that are around it. And I believe that in many ways, this is what the Bible is trying to tell us. The Bible is saying that the story of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is intended to be passed on from one generation to the next. So if each one of these links represented a different generation, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of generations from the beginning of human history on, God has designed it that the strength of the movement of God is dependent not just on each individual generation, but it's also dependent on the interconnectedness of each generation to the next. And so this is actually what you see throughout the pages of Scripture. So let me just show you what I'm talking about. So for example, in Psalm 145, 4, It says this. So check this out. It says that one generation is going to commend your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. So you see that? That's one generation is going to declare your power to the next generation. That's one link in the chain. Or what about this? Deuteronomy 4 says, teach them to your children and to their children after them. So you see that? He says, you teach them to your children and then to the children after them. That's two links in the chain. Or what about this one? Joel says, tell your children and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. So you see, he says, you tell your children, they to their children, and them to the next generation. That's three links in the chain. Or how about this? I love this one. Psalm 78 says, we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, about his power and the wonders that he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob, and he established the law in Israel. Now watch this. Which God commanded our ancestors to teach to their children so that the next generation would know them, even to the children yet to be born, who in turn would tell their children. That's multiple links that you see in the movement of God. And then I think ultimately, here you have it, Psalm 119:90. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations, for thousands and thousands of generations. That's the whole chain. And again, I think what this is showing us is that this is actually God's plan and this is God's design. The gospel is intended to be passed on generationally and relationally. And here's the thing. Every generation of those who follow God have been given the opportunity and have been given the responsibility to impart to the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of God, to tell the next generation about who God is and what God is like. And that is by God's design. And I also want you to know that this idea that I'm showing you is not just an Old Testament concept. This actually goes into the New Testament. And the Bible's going to tell us that now the church of Jesus Christ, the family of God, that this is actually our responsibility. So this isn't just for parents. This is actually for all of the church. And so the Bible's going to say, for example, that older men in the church should set an example for the younger men in the church. And it's going to say that older women in the church should set an example, and they should pass on to the next generation of younger women the praiseworthy deeds of God. You're going to see this all throughout Scripture. So why is it that this is a value of ours? Well, first and foremost, it's because we're convinced that this is God's heart. This is God's plan. But here's the second reason, and I think this is just as important. It's this. It's because we're convinced that there is no greater treasure to impart. Listen, here's what we're convinced. As the church of Jesus Christ, for those of us who follow Christ, we believe there is nothing better that we could give to the next generation. There is no greater inheritance that we can leave. There is no better thing that we can impart to the next generation. There's no greater treasure that we could give them than a love for God, a deep love for God, and a vision for what it looks like to follow him. And I think Deuteronomy chapter 6 is actually one of the most helpful passages here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, in fact, I'd love it if you would just look at it with me here for just a moment. Deuteronomy 6, if you need to use one of our Bibles, is found on page 145, and the Bible's under the chairs. Deuteronomy 6, if my guess is that some of you might be familiar, is a very, very famous passage in the Bible. This passage is sometimes called the Shema by the Jewish community. And this is a passage that is so important to the early Jewish people that they literally would have prayed and recited this passage twice a day. So they would have got up, they would have prayed this in the morning, and they would have prayed it in the evening. What you're going to see is this passage is all about imparting to the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of God. So apparently, this has been a value for God's people for all of history. This has been something that's a big deal. And here's what Deuteronomy chapter 6 says. And the reason I think this is so important is I think it gives us a picture of what is needed to make a real impact of the next generation. Here's what it says. Deuteronomy 6, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Then it says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now again, I love this passage, and I think this passage, when you look at it, it's going to help us see what needs to be done if we're going to make a real impact in the next generation. I think what this passage is going to show us is this, is that there's really a couple things. I think the passage is going to show us that it actually takes someone who has a real deal faith. A real deal faith. And what do I mean by that? I mean an authentic faith. and someone who's willing to make a real life investment. That's what is needed to make a real impact in the next generation. So I just want you to notice, it starts with a real deal faith. It starts with a real deal faith. Do you notice where Deuteronomy actually begins, Deuteronomy chapter 6? It's talking about imparting something to the next generation, but rather than starting with the next generation, it actually starts with the current generation. And here's what he says. He says, you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. You see what he's saying? He's saying, listen, you want to make a big impact in the next generation? Here's where it starts. You love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul, and with all of your, in other words, with every fiber of your being. Treasure God above anything else. And so he says, if you want to make a big difference in the next generation, here's where it starts. It starts with a real deal faith. It starts with an authentic, I treasure God above all other things in my life. And then he says this, and he says, in these commandments that God has given to us, they're to be on your hearts. Now, why is he saying this? Here's why, because all of us know this. You cannot give what you do not possess. I think many of us know this. If we have any hope of imparting to the next generation a real love for God, and if we have any hope of imparting to the next generation a desire to live for God, we ourselves have to be the one that possess that. Listen, I think all of us know this. People in the next generation are very sensitive to inconsistency. They're very smart. And so anytime something seems inauthentic, or anytime there's hypocrisy, or anytime they can see that what you say and what you do are not the same thing, when they see inconsistency, they're very suspect to those things. In fact, I'm experiencing this right now at my own house. And so it's interesting right now, I'm kind of at that stage in parenting where my kids are getting old enough where they're starting to get approach driving age. And so some of you guys have been there before, and so you can be praying for me as they're kind of getting in that stage. But I've noticed something interesting, that now that we've been talking about driving, that when they're in the car with me, they're paying extra special attention to the way that I drive. And man, it's not good, right? And so they know when there's times that I tell them what they should do, and then they see the inconsistency of what I actually do. They're hypersensitive to that stuff, man, right? And listen, I'm just saying, it's the same thing with following Jesus. It is the same thing. If we're telling the next generation, man, the most important thing in life should be God, and they look at our lives and they see that that's not the case. I'm just saying, man, they can see that. Now, I'm not saying we do this perfectly. But the next generation, what they need to see is they need to see what it looks like to follow Jesus in real life, even in the messiness. They need to see that the gospel is not just a doctrine to learn, but it's something personal that impacts us. So it begins there. It begins with a real deal faith. But then it also, I want you to notice this, he goes on, he says this. He says, you're to impress these things on your children. You're to talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up, write it on your hands and write it on your foreheads. Now, some of you are like, what is all that talking about? Well, let me just say, all these references, what they're referring to is the routine, everyday acts of life. That's all he's saying. So when it says, like, write it on your hands and put it on your head, it says these things should be at the front of your mind, and no matter what your hands find themselves to do, the things of God should be involved in that. You should talk about God not just when you're at church on Sunday, but you should be talking about the things of God when you lay down, and when you get up, and when you're walking, and when you go to Walmart, and when you go to Target. You should be talking about the things of God. In other words, what he's saying is, this is a real life investment. This is coming alongside someone personally. Now, obviously, this passage is talking directly to parents, for sure. And so if you're a parent in this room, I think this applies to us. You and I, as parents, we have the great opportunity, and we honestly have the greatest impact to make the biggest spiritual impact in our children. However, let me just say, I think this doesn't simply apply to parents. I think this actually applies to the entire church family. This is all of us. And why is that? It's because, listen, I believe all of us, I think all of us would agree with this. The reality is that if someone has a real deal faith and they are willing to make a real life investment, that is what makes a real impact in the next generation. Let me just prove this to you. So let me ask you, if you're someone who is a follower of Jesus in this room, and I know not everyone follows Christ. Some of you are still kind of investigating your faith, and we're so glad you're here. But for those of you who follow Jesus, if I was to ask you the question, can you name three church programs that changed your life for Christ? If I asked that question, my guess is you probably have to do some thinking, but you could probably think of a few things. If I asked you the question, can you name three sermons that totally transformed your life for Christ? My guess is you could probably think of a few. I know I can. Most likely they're probably my sermons. I get it. I'm kidding. But if I asked you the question, if I said, can you name for me three people who made a difference for your life in Jesus? My guess is, you know, that question hits different. And all of a sudden you see that it wasn't just programs and it wasn't just sermons, but actually the key ingredient that makes an impact in the lives of the next generation and that made an impact in your life was somebody. It was somebody who had a real deal faith, and it was someone who was willing to make a real life investment. That is what made a real impact. That is what made a real impact. I could just tell you, if you asked me that question, can you name three people who changed your life for Jesus? I could name it like that. I'd be like my Aunt Andrea, who invested herself. She had a real deal faith, and she was really committed to investing in me, and it made a real difference. I could think of TK, a guy named TK. Real deal faith, made a real life investment, made a real impact in my life. A guy named Errol, same thing. These are people. God used them in powerful ways. And because of that, you guys, here's what I believe. I believe that if we have any hope in making an impact on the next generation, I believe that our greatest resource is actually not our programs. Our greatest resource as a church is not our programs. And listen, I think our programs are important. Our programs are great. Power Kids, Student Ministries, United, all of it. It's all great. We need our programs, but it's not our most valuable resource in making an impact on the next generation. That's not our curriculum. Our curriculum is important. Doctrine is important. It matters what we're teaching. But can I just tell you, I am convinced that our greatest resource is our people. It's you. It's people whose lives who have been transformed by Jesus. Not, you know, we're not perfect people, but people who have real deal faith, who are willing to show up and make a real life investment. That's what makes a real impact. I love what Matt Markins said. Matt Markins is the president of Awana. You guys know Awana? Maybe you're familiar with that ministry. I love what he says. He said this. I think this reflects the way that we want to think as a church. He said, what if we shifted our thinking from next generation ministry to next generation discipleship? See, we don't just want to do next generation ministry. We want to disciple the next generation, to tell them about Jesus. Because here's the truth. We think programs are important. We think curriculum is important. But we actually believe that one of the most pivotal things that can change a person's life is a relationship. Someone who loves Jesus with all their heart, mind, and soul, who's willing to come alongside of somebody and help them grow spiritually. And so the two reasons why do we have this value? It's because we're convinced this is God's heart. And the second reason is because we are convinced that there is no greater treasure to impart. I actually want to invite you to watch a video with me. So we filmed a video and tried to capture some different voices from different people in different generations within our church. And as you watch this video, I just want you to listen. I want you to listen not just for how the ministries have changed the lives of these students. I want you to listen for how people have. Life-on-life interaction of people with real deal faith who are willing to make a real life investment that made a real impact. So let's watch this video together.
The big thing with United is, you know, everybody's growing together and everybody's looking out for one another. You know, you don't necessarily experience this anywhere else with anything else, just because the gospel and what Jesus did for us, it's so personal. And, you know, yeah, I'm choking up a little bit right now and it's awesome.
DJ mainly has been the one to really kind of impact my faith, or like my faith journey. It kind of started in middle school, whenever like I had the questions like more like, who is God, or like what does he have planned for me?
On my one-on-one at junior camp this year, Serene, she was my counselor for my family, and she helped me through everything. Learning my one-on-ones, praying with me. She was a nice counselor and I was really happy to have her. And then my family, they helped me learn more about Jesus. They helped me feel confident. They got through my journeys, sad moments, happy moments. And I'm really glad to have those people in my life.
While in Philly, there was a moment where we were walking down the street and everyone was kind of having difficulty sparking conversation. And I was like, hey guys, you know, something that I kind of found out works really well is giving people a compliment and kind of helps spark conversation. And like not even 2 seconds later, this guy's walking past us and I said, excuse me, sir, I love your sunglasses. And then we went in this deep theological discussion about God and the world and how we have to have God in our lives and stuff like that. And that really kind of, that showed me a lot that God almost like, I guess, works in a way. Like, he kind of, it felt like when I said, hey, watch this. I felt like that was God being like, hey, go do that.
What's nice and what's awesome and what United brings is a lot of relationships that I've had in my past, you know, with, you know, friends and, you know, that move away, whatever, just like high school friends, stuff like that. It's like a lot of it's surface level conversations. And right when you get into Christ, it's like new purpose, new identity, you know, new mission, new goals, like, and everybody's working towards the same thing. And with, you know, these relationships and these people that have brought me closer to Christ, and I'm helping them as well. It's a give and take. And I'd say the relationships are 10 times better just because there's literally a foundation for everything. And it's so grounded, it's so rooted. You know, in the church and in the gospels and in, you know, in faith alone.
I went to this camp with my friend Ruby, and that's in the third day on Wednesday. I finally decided to ask Christ into my life. So I was really happy about that, and I was really excited to share the big news with my family, friends, counselors, and everyone else.
I'd say the thing that I got probably the most excited about was after our small group one evening, we had I had a couple of the guys come up to me and pretty excited, and they wanted to get baptized. And so we're working through the process of that still, haven't got to see that all the way through yet, but I'm really just excited to be a part of their journey with the Lord through that, and to be able to witness it and see again what God's doing in their lives. And you know, these kids are pretty incredible. I always joke, you know, but also seriously, they're just in such a different place than where I was when I was in high school. And so it's just neat to see the Lord working in their lives, and to be able to see them take those steps of faith is encouraging to be able to witness.
I remember in middle school, Eric Steidel, he gave us the opportunity to lead a middle school life group, and that really helped, I feel like, grow my faith. That felt like that was the opportunity I needed to kind of discover more of my faith. A couple weeks later, we had a conversation about baptism, and I was like, that seems kind of cool. And then I just started diving headfirst into baptism and what it means. And then I got baptized, and I feel like that's like the main turning point. That was kind of like right before Ignite, that I really felt like that push.
You know, my daily life now, like, I'm getting in the Word mostly every day. You know, I'm really looking forward to going to church on Sundays. I'm looking forward to hanging out with, you know, my church friends. You know, it's like the coolest thing ever. And even bringing up Jesus in, you know, relationships that I never have before, you know, with, when it comes to friends who don't know Christ, friends who have strayed away from Christ, like, there's a newfound confidence that I have in, you know, more or less preaching the gospel and just, you know, having confidence that you know, It isn't all for nothing, and that I have this newfound purpose as well.
God has used us in ways and opportunities of things that have been going on in the students' lives. And so then you get those glimpses or those moments of like, okay, this is why we're here. This is, you know, this is how God's using us and making a difference. And so you forget about all of those other moments where you're like, okay, did I do anything?
If God didn't use, if I didn't have those people in my life, I probably wouldn't be going to church. I wouldn't be baptized. I wouldn't be serving.
Christ wouldn't be my number one, and God wouldn't be my number one. It'd be my third or fourth priority. I'd probably put career and individual goals, you know, way higher up on the list.
I feel like I'd be way, way further from God if I didn't have the leaders that I do in my life.
That's awesome. Well, can we just say thanks to those guys for sharing those stories? It's great. That's awesome. Well, you guys, as we begin to close our time out here together today, the reason I think that it's so important to see that video and to hear these stories is because it's just a reminder to us, you hear it over and over again, that the gospel is passed on generationally and relationally. Even as you listen to those stories, did you just hear how each person talked about a person who was willing to invest in their life and the difference that made? And listen, the reason I bring that up and the reason I think it's so important for us to come back to this over and over again as a church is because, listen, for those who are part of the Medina East Campus of Grace Church, here's the truth. The gospel is passed down relationally and generationally. That's God's plan. And it's our turn. It's our turn. This is our moment. This is our time and our place in history where we are at bat now to take what God has given to us and to impart that into the next generation. And we don't want this to stop with us. We want to continue to do that one generation to the next, to the next. So here's the question. The question is, it's our turn. How are we going to do that? And I believe that it takes all of us. It takes all of us, not just some of us, not just parents, not just people who are willing to serve and power kids and student ministries and United. It actually takes all of us. It's going to take every single one of us working together. So the question you might have is, well, then how? How do we all do this together for those of us who are part of this church? Now, I don't believe that what that means is that all of us need to be serving in next generation ministry spaces. Now, some of us do that in power kids and student ministries and United, but there are other ministries of the church that are equally as important, so I'm not trying to undermine that. But I do believe that even if you're not serving in those spaces, there is a responsibility that we have together as a church family. And so here's a few of those things. First and foremost, I want to ask, if you are part of the Medina East Campus family, will you pray for the next generation? Will you pray? I think this is our obligation, is that we are to pray for the next generation. And when I say that, I mean like for real, pray. I mean, like to prioritize prayer. You know, I was reminded of the power of this again just recently. I was reminded about a revival that happened in the 1950s, which maybe is one of the most powerful revivals that we have seen in recent history. It is a revival that was called the Hebrides Revival in Scotland. And some of you maybe have heard about this, but it was incredible. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people began to give their life to Jesus, and God did an amazing thing in the next generation during that time. But if you look into the history of it, and I would encourage you to do this, you can read about it online, it actually began with a quiet but fervent faith of two elderly sisters. The two elderly sisters were named Peggy and Christine Smith. This is a picture of them. Peggy was 84 years old and was blind. And Christine was 82 years old, and she was ridden with arthritis. It was very, very hard for her to move. And so because of their age and because of their health condition, these two elderly women were actually unable to attend church, but they had a very, very vibrant faith. And they began to be burdened. They actually experienced a very deep burden, especially when they looked at the spiritual deadness among the next generation. And so they noticed that there was no young people in church, that the young people were not engaged in the things of faith. And so they were very burdened about this. And so they actually committed themselves to praying several times consistently from 10 o'clock p.m. to 3 o'clock a.m. And they would devote themselves to praying and crying out to God. And specifically, there was a passage that gripped their heart. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, this passage right here, God promised, "I will pour water onto him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground." And basically looked at this passage, they said, God, there is a drought. There is a spiritual drought among the next generation. There are so many young people who are far from you. God, send rain. God, send rain. God, pour out your spirit. Would you send rain? That's amazing when you read about it. What happened as a result of their prayers is that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people, accounts of young men and women, even just kneeling down on the streets, repenting out to God, crying out to him, and the churches were then full with young people, and the whole community was transformed as a result of it. All that to say this, it is no small thing to pray. It is no small thing. Would you pray? In fact, maybe you're even someone right now who's watching online, and maybe you can't be here in person because your health won't permit you to be here. And maybe you're wondering when you hear a message like this, what's my part in this whole thing? I just want to tell you, it is no small thing to pray for the next generation. Would you pray? Here's the second thing. I think this is for all of us. Will you, if you're part of our church family, think with the next generation in mind? Will you think? I don't think you necessarily need to serve in all these ministry spaces to just be thinking this way. Will you think with the next generation in mind? Listen, I know for some of you who are in the room, maybe you're in elementary school, maybe you're a middle school student or a high school student or maybe a college student, and you might be hearing all this and you might be thinking, oh, this message is for the older folks in the church about investing in the younger folks in the church. But I just want you to know, this is not just for the older folks in this church. This message is for everybody. And the reason this message is for everybody is because, you guys know this, everybody is older than somebody. And so if we want to invest ourselves into the next generation, that applies to every single one of us in this room. So let me just tell you, if you're a middle school student in this room, this applies to you. Would you think with the next generation in mind? Do you have any idea how much elementary school students look up to you if you're middle school students? Do you have any idea the kind of impact that you can have? Listen, it is so easy for each generation to just get so wrapped up and consumed in the needs of their own generation. But if we can just think with the next generation in mind, it can make a big difference. Listen, if you are a high school student, do you have any idea the impact that you can have when you don't just think about your own needs and the need of your friend group, but when you can also think about the underclassmen? When you can think about the middle school student, do you have any idea the kind of impact that you can have in their life if you just extend kindness to them, if you just invite them, if you just think with them in mind? If you're a college student in this room, do you have any idea? High school students and middle school students think you are superheroes. Even if you're like a nerd, it doesn't matter. You just have this superpower because they look up to you. And I'm just saying, what if you leveraged that to make an impact in the next generation? For some of you who are newly married, what if you thought about those who were one step behind you? What if for some of you who've been married for a little while, what if you look back to newlyweds? What if the older men in the church just thought about maybe investing in the younger men in the church? What if older ladies in the church just thought about, what if I just thought about the next generation in mind? I just think this is the way that we're called to think. Listen, what if those of us who are parents in this room, what if we took seriously the spiritual formation of our child? What if we took it just as serious as the educational or the athletic formation of our child in the home? Then would we prioritize discipling our own kids? Maybe for you, taking advantage of some of the classes and some of the conferences that Colin talked about to get involved in that. Some of you are like, I don't even know where to start discipling my own child. But I'm just telling you, you will make the biggest spiritual impact on your child. And so we want to partner with you. We can't do it for you, but we can partner with you as you go about that. Will we think with the next generation in mind? Will we, as a congregation, will we be willing to lay aside some of our own comforts? Will we be willing to lay aside some of our own preferences? Maybe even some of the things that we desire, maybe even some of the kinds of music that we like or the volumes of the music that we like. Will we be willing to lay some of those things aside if it means make an impact in the next generation? We think with the next generation in mind. Then lastly, and finally, for some of us, not for all of us, but for some of us, will you serve? Will you choose to serve in some of these next generation ministry spaces? Listen, here's the truth. I don't think everybody in our congregation should serve in Power Kids and student ministries in United. There's a lot of different ways to serve, and there's even a lot of different ways to serve the next generation. Some of you are involved in adoption and foster care. We support you. We love all of that. There's a million different ways to serve. But listen, here's the truth. There's some of us, some who are part of our church, who aren't serving anywhere right now. And maybe there's not a spot that you're consistently giving yourself. And listen, I'm just telling you, I don't want you to miss the opportunity to make an eternal impact. And we believe that there is nothing greater, no greater treasure to impart to the next generation than this, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so maybe for some of you, this message is all you need to seize the opportunity to get off of the bench and get in the game. And we'd love for you to do that. We'd love for you to take a step towards getting connected and towards getting involved. You guys have probably heard us talk about in the seat backs in front of you, there's this card that says serve with us. One of the things that we're preparing for right now is that in the fall, we're going to be adding a fourth service. And of course, with the addition of a new service comes a whole bunch of opportunities to get connected and a whole bunch of needs that we need to get involved. And I'm just asking you, would you prayerfully consider, for some of you, maybe this message is enough for you to say, you know what, it's my turn. It's my turn. And I want to raise my hand and I want to be involved. And I want to take a step towards using my time and using my energy to serve and to pour into the next generation. By filling out this card, and you can put it in the offering box in the back, this is just you taking your first step. Okay, this isn't a final step. This is you just raising your hand. And this is you just saying, hey, I'm interested. Give me more information. Let me know what I need to do. Put me in, coach. Get me off the bench and get me in the game. And we would love to help you do that. So if you fill this out, you put that in the back, we'd be happy to follow up with you and help you get connected. I'm going to ask the band to make their way up here. And as they do, we get the awesome opportunity to be led in worship by the next generation. I'm so excited about that. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. But can I just say that one of my prayers has been that our prayer for those who are part of the Medina East Campus, that our collective prayer would be this right here, Psalm 71. I love what the psalmist says. He says this. He says, I will come and I will proclaim your mighty acts, Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, until I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. I love this prayer. I hope this is our prayer. God, until our dying breath, don't let us rest until the next generation knows the power and the love of God. I hope that's our prayer. I hope that's our prayer. Let's pray that way right now. God, I just want to say thank you so much that you, in your power and in your plan, that you have used people to change the lives of people. And Father, I know for many of us, that is our story. God, when I think about how my life has been changed by the gospel, I think of people that you have used powerfully, people who had a real deal faith. They weren't perfect, but they had a real faith and they had a real willingness to make an investment, and that's made a real difference. God, I pray you do the same thing. Would you use us? It's our turn. And so Father, would you use us? Would you use us? Would you help us? Would you give us courage? Lord, would you help us get out of our own minds that think that somehow we gotta get everything just perfect. We have to know everything. We don't need to know everything. We just need to know one thing. We just need to know that you're the greatest treasure in all of life. So Father, would you help us? Would you help us to do this? And Father, I pray that as a congregation, you would instill a heart inside of all of us that says that until our dying breath, we will not rest until the next generation knows that you love them, knows that you care about them, know who you are, know what you've commanded them, and know that you're good. And so, Father, we want to pray these things and ask these things that you would do by the power of your Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name.